This holiday season, reach for the one butter that never disappoints, Kerrygold. Made with milk from grass-fed cows on Irish family farms, it's rich, creamy, and perfect for baking. Whether browning butter for cookies or crafting the flakiest pie crust, Kerrygold's high butterfat content makes all the difference in flavor and texture. Holiday treats will taste extraordinary.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Del for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Got a lot of college football to talk. Mike Elko's joining us today, right? What, 8:15?
Yeah, 8:15, Aggies head coach Mike Elko for the first time in 3 weeks.
And he's got some explaining to do, breaking a chair in the locker room after the game. You know, that is university property, and he's going to have to, I would hope that there's some reimbursement or some kind of, you know, there's got to be some kind of sanctions.
See how he responds. I don't know how to read Mike Elko. Like, I want to make jokes with him.
Well, I think he's jokeable. Absolutely.
I think he can make jokes. I don't think he'll linger on them we will.
Right. No, but he's actually had a little fun with us.
Yeah, here. I think he's got a little bit of a sense of humor.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, I think he does.
Not like Nick Saban. You wouldn't joke with him.
No, we didn't much.
We never joked with Nick Saban.
No,
and if we
really
did, didn't. He didn't laugh.
No, he didn't. He's not a laugher. We had Nick Saban on, for those of you who don't know, we were at 610, and when Saban was the head coach at LSU, he would come on every week with us, and every week he would say, bye, John, and Lance would go, oh, after he hung up.
No. Was that him?
Yes,
or
was Saban.
We did it with who was that?
Les Miles, too.
Les Miles, for sure. How are we doing, John? Okay, bye, John.
Too.
Tell Houston I said hello.
Yeah.
He would always say, tell Houston I said hello.
Right.
Okay.
All right.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, but you just did that, Coach.
Thanks, Coach.
Yeah.
Hello, Houston, from Les Miles.
Les Miles says hey.
Les Miles said hello, guys.
Yeah. Anyway, we got Mike Elko at 8:15, the number three team in the country. And I guess CJ not playing and Jalen Petrie not playing is the biggest story in Houston. But we had the college football the playoff rankings come out. And Ohio State 1, Indiana 2, A&M 3, Georgia 4. They move up to 4. Alabama's still in the picture at number 10.
As they should be.
If this was the final rankings, Oklahoma plays Notre Dame. The winner gets Ohio State. That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Tech plays Tulane. The winner gets Georgia. Now, I don't know that that's fair that Georgia is the 4 seed, easily gets the easiest, you know. And that happened last year, too, and that's why they had to change. Instead of the conference champions, they decided, let's just get the highest 4 ranked teams to get the bye. Mm-hmm. But if it turns out this way, Georgia is the 4 seed, gets the easiest quarterfinal game. I don't even know if it's arguable. Oregon and Alabama would play, and the winner gets Indiana. Ole Miss and Miami.
Yeah, see, I'm not sure. Like, for example, if we just looked at the teams, I wonder what the perception of Oregon versus Tech would be, because I'm not sure Tech's not a better team than Oregon. I know that Oregon's got
Tech
the name and all that.
Tech
I know they're
higher.
Yeah, no, I know they're higher. I'm just saying the perception by people. Because why wouldn't you say, and I get what you're saying, I'm just saying to push back, So is Tech, if Tech beats Tulane, is that an easy matchup?
I know Tech looks better.
Yeah, I see.
Tech certainly hasn't been challenged the way that any of these other teams have.
Right. I just think watching them play, they're pretty good. I mean, they'll get out on you. I mean, they put it on Houston pretty good. They're hard to put it on BYU pretty good.
I watched a lot of that Arizona State game, though, and while it was up and down, it was back and forth, that was their Arizona State's backup. And or no, it was no, actually left, Texas Tech's backup.
Yeah, Texas Tech's backup.
And he played a good game. Yeah. I mean, he was a bulldog.
It was back and forth, and that was one that I thought was a really dangerous spot going into ASU for Tech. But, you know, the college football playoffs, one of the things I noticed, I don't know if you saw this on your timeline or heard this, and I got some thoughts from Josh Pate, too. We're going to play just a little bit because he's really just upset with the whole committee and just in general. But a lot of people, I noticed that, and see, I was never really anti-computer per se. I thought the way that you do it was important. But, you know, it's hard when you do a final four. Once you get to 12, I think the computers make a lot more sense because I think they become more dialed in. And that's one of the things is, I get the transcript. I don't know if you heard it. I didn't listen to it, but I read the transcript of what Hunter Yurecek, the new head of the College Football Playoff Committee, because Mac Rhodes stepped down, so Hunter Yurecek took over. And he was answering questions. And they asked questions, you know, well, what were your thoughts here? Why is Miami here? Why is it, you know, blah, blah, blah. And, man, people really didn't like they really started to feel like, ooh, these people just talking, their rationale, the human rationale for some of the ways they have this seated is starting to break down. Like people, for the first time I saw someone said, you know what, I would rather have the BCS right now than people deciding this, because at least the computer is not going to have these ridiculous, arguments.
I've always said the computer is still people, because you input what you think is most important and you weight it that way.
Well,
have to weight it. What's more important, strength of schedule? What is more important, wins? What is more important, margin of victory? You have to put all those things into the computer and then spit it out.
Well, yes, but it's not saying, well, they had 200 more yards rushing. You can actually put, everyone can know what the, you can say, okay, this is what it is.
But strength of schedule, what's important and what's not important.
Well, I know, but everyone knows what the deal is going in. You can say, this is equally weighted, this, and this. And you know going in, and everyone knows the deal. Right now, it's just kind of random. Some of the stuff is just kind of random. Look, Alabama should absolutely be in the top 12. It shouldn't be a consideration. I mean, 5 SEC teams should be in, and they are. 3 Big Ten teams should be in, and you could argue a 4th for Michigan, but they're not. And I personally didn't think there would be the 4th. I didn't think Michigan would probably be in there. 1 ACC, 1 Big 12, 1 group of 5. I mean, it's kind of, and I'm missing, oh, and of course, Notre Dame, who's their own thing. Those weren't really surprises. Not really. Not to me. Kind of how they're seated, maybe a little bit. It will be curious to see what happens if Alabama gets to an SEC championship game and loses an SEC championship game and see how that's treated, because you're setting precedent that if you lose a championship game, if you get there and you lose and you're eliminated, because it is a third loss.
Well, and the other thing is going to be, let's say Ohio State beats Michigan, Indiana goes in undefeated.
Right.
If loser of the Ohio State Indiana championship game, are they out as a first round bye?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good.
I don't think they should be.
I don't think so either, because, you know, I don't know. Should you? Okay, let's say.
It depends on if it's a blowout.
Let's say Ohio State, who has not played a very tough schedule, let's say Ohio State gets beat 35-10.
Yeah.
Would you then knock them out?
That's tough.
Because it is a number 2 team. Like, we always say it shouldn't happen, but tell me how the game goes. You know, if the game goes 24-17, I'm kind of with you, because you tell me the first 13 games didn't matter, the first 12, 13 games weren't important. Yeah. I mean, I think they should be more important than one neutral site game against,
Yeah, and then the other thing is Georgia doesn't make the SEC championship game.
And they benefit. Get by.
A&M loses to Alabama, and are they out?
Georgia benefits. This is not the first time we've seen this. You benefit from not playing in an SEC championship game.
Exactly.
At least if you've lost early and then you continue to win after an early loss and you build yourself up in stature, which everyone does. I mean, look at Texas. Texas was 12 last week, and they had, you know, a couple of bad – well, the first loss wasn't a bad one, but then the second one – Who was their second loss to? Oh, Florida was. You know, it's getting worse by the week. That loss is getting worse for them by the week. Their win over Oklahoma helps them. Texas 17, by the way, so they obviously need a lot of help. By the way, Texas needs a lot of help to get in.
Texas ain't. I mean, I was watching post game and
what's hard because Oklahoma's pushed further than people thought they were going.
Yeah, I mean that's Oklahoma's
the,
in.
That's the one that's hard because you're gonna take five SEC teams. You thought Oklahoma might be on the way. Well, can Texas pass Oklahoma? Now, why shouldn't they be able to if they've got a heads-up win over them? But you need Oklahoma
But then
to
Oklahoma
lose.
Went to Alabama and won.
Yeah, who's Yeah, exactly. And who's Oklahoma? You know, they lost at home against a good Ole Miss team. Who's Oklahoma play moving forward? Bedlam, has Bedlam already been played?
No. No.
This year.
Because what's that? No Bedlam?
No, they don't know Bedlam. They play home games against LSU and Missouri, but Missouri first.
Missouri, then LSU.
I mean, those are losable games, potentially.
For the Oklahoma offense, definitely. Yeah. They don't score. They don't play well overall.
And what does the committee do if USC beats Oregon?
Yeah.
Because are you going to be with two Big Ten teams, or does USC jump everybody?
I don't see
into the playoffs.
USC has to jump because, Oregon is not. I don't know, or Oregon stays in at the back end. Maybe you can't have only two Big Ten.
Well, they would fall further than three.
Big Ten would take their football and go home. And we already see the SEC and the Big Ten have 8 of the 12. I mean, and they've already talked about seceding from all the college football.
Right. No, so, they'd have to put a USC up there.
Yeah, I mean, you have to have three Big Ten just for the politics, unfortunately.
If Oklahoma loses, I don't know that Texas becomes a fifth team.
It may not.
I think, oddly.
Vanderbilt.
I mean, if Texas has a chance to get a big win against A&M. That is the only saving grace.
But they dropped them to a point where
17's far.
They're going to need more than just Oklahoma losing.
Yeah,
for them to even with the win on against A&M.
Probably.
Yeah, but how weird would it be if a two-loss Miami or a two-loss USC, BYU with a bad BYU looked bad in their loss.
Not great.
They're
wins.
Ahead of Texas
and not great wins.
And right now BYU would,
especially if Texas had a win against Oklahoma and. A close loss to Ohio State, a win over Oklahoma, win over A&M. That would be.
You got a bad loss to Florida, and then you got destroyed by Georgia. BYU goes to Cincinnati.
Well, but Arch looked better.
Sure, great. BYU goes to Cincinnati. That's a losable game for them this Saturday.
It is a losable game.
So BYU may be out of the paint pretty quickly, and if not, they will see likely the Tech in the title game, and if they get blown out by Tech, I think I don't think they're going to be shown any favors. So there are two games that could knock.
There's still plenty of LSU, Missouri for Oklahoma, A&M and Texas. I mean, Texas has to win that game. A&M's safe, obviously, but Oklahoma having Missouri and LSU, they should be favored in both. But they still got to get out of those. As you mentioned, BYU may very well get tripped up against Cincinnati. Is that Oregon, USC, is that at Oregon?
That's in Eugene.
Okay, yeah. But USC still has a shot, without question. USC, and USC could cause some problems. You're right, John. USC wins that's going to, that's going to open up some questions.
I'll tell you what, that little lemon, that wide receiver, he is so hard to cover. Well, USC's wide receiver, Malachi Lemon.
Yeah, he's really good.
He is so good. I mean, we saw Harbor last week. How good he is!
Harbor's like a DK Metcalf.
Did you see Smith was hurt at the end of the Ohio State game?
No, Jonathan Smith.
Jeremiah Smith.
Jeremiah Smith. I mean, yeah.
I
didn't see that.
Oh yeah, he was. They had to
because nobody cares about Ohio State football this year for some reason.
He was limping badly. They were helping him walk off the field.
Ooh,
yeah. So
that's a tough one, boy. When they take on Indiana, that's a tough one.
Yeah. So there are some good wide receivers. You're going to watch a lot of good wide receivers when you're breaking stuff
down. He won't be
down.
Watching Jeremiah Smith. He'll have to wait another year for that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right.
Good. I don't want to – I like
you
to
don't
put
want him
stuff
out.
Off.
You don't want him out.
I finally watched a high-rated guy, Keldrick Falk from Auburn. I start kind of back-end players – And it's just like, ho-hum, ho-hum. And then I said, oh, well, let me watch Auburn because I got to watch I don't know who I was. I watch in the Texas Tech kid, David Bailey's pretty good too. Pass rusher, I'm not done writing him. But, yeah, it's that time where I stay up here and procrastinate and end up here at 7 o'clock at night for no good reason. Because I didn't get to my stuff.
Well, but that's just so you can stay away.
But, you know, honestly, everybody. A lot of them are gone. Mason's working all the time. That's such a blessing to have him making money. Such a blessing. Mahdi's always doing singing stuff at HSPVA. And then, you know, Snacks is laying in his bedroom now talking to his, now that his, him and his girl are back. So,
he's just,
yeah, so he's not even at jiu-jitsu. Yeah. Well, he's trying to downplay it a little bit.
Oh, he's, you know. Well, we're just talking, Dad. Nothing serious.
I mean, he did pretty good, if I'm being honest.
Oh, oh yeah?
Yeah, he did all right.
God bless.
Is he going to change
who he is? He's a basketball player. She's a cheerleader. No, he'll never change who he is.
So she's not going to elevate him?
No. Oh. No. He'll bring her down.
Okay.
Yeah. No, he'll drag her down if she's not careful.
That's sad.
Hey.
His own father.
Why did she have a zero? And actually, he's got all A's and B's, but a little heavier on the B's.
Mm-hmm.
That's his hour. He didn't turn his stuff in for college. He was supposed to when it was free. You can turn your stuff into Texas for free. In the state of Texas, and he didn't get it all done, so now we had to pay $80 in fees to get these applications in when they have a free, like, we thought, you said you did this. Well, I did, but in your email, my wife looked at his email and said, look at all these things came back. They still said they were missing something, and now we have to pay. What? You got 295 emails you haven't opened. And then he goes, I've got
that all. Sounds like.
And no. I said, why aren't you getting your stuff? He goes, I've got all A's and B's in school. That's his new thing. I've got all A's and B's in school.
All my other responsibilities don't matter so much.
Yeah, it's like, what's...
I got to admit, the kid sounds a lot like me.
My kids are like? Two of my kids are like stoners who don't smoke. They've got all the mannerisms of a stoner, but they don't smoke. They just... they get lazy, lay around, eat at about 1:30 in the morning when they're... Like, they do all this stuff, and then, you know, but they don't smoke. Like, Sebastian just makes A's and B's, and he's getting jiu-jitsu, but it's not like real A's. I'm just like, I don't know if I'm kidding. This is like a low strength of schedule. And he's at one of the hardest schools in the state, and I never see him study. Like, you got to be cheating off somebody.
He's got 200 unopened emails.
Yeah. That sounds like
study. You. And he got good grades. Sounds a lot like me. He might be my kid.
I know. It does sound a lot like. Well, I mean, you didn't have emails, but you had letters you weren't opening.
Oh, I didn't open any letters.
You had correspondences.
I did. I am opening a Coors Light today. I'm coming back
shocking.
To Houston. And I will be back. And we're going straight to a
drink
bar.
On the plane. Drink on the plane.
I'm going to try. You know what? They don't have Coors Lights on the plane.
That's right.
They got some Budweiser product, which I can't do. Sorry. So I'm not doing that, but I will, as soon as I get back to Houston today, I am going to open a cold, clean, crisp, refreshing. What's it like? I don't even know how hot it is, how cold it is. It doesn't matter to me. You know why? Because I'm going to keep Texas chill the whole time I'm there. I'm there for a few weeks now, so watch out, Texas. You better stock up on your Coors Lights, because here I come. I can't wait to get back to Texas, where I love it. My favorite state in the world, and drink cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Lights. I am thrilled. I am excited. And big part of the excitement is drinking Coors Lights with y'all. If y'all see me out and about, if you're on a golf course or in a bar, because that's probably where I'll be, then you just say, hey, John, let's have a Coors Light together. And I'll be like, I'm in, because I want that cold, clean, crisp refreshingness. I can't wait. I'm so excited to be drinking Coors Lights again in Houston. Cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. I'm going to climb on. Want you to climb on with me. Coors Light.
You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Man, I don't know why. Well, your daddy put it out. Trey Mancini making that play. Along the first base, the only thing he did in the postseason, when Ryan Pressly came in to save Justin Verlander's game. Oh, my gosh. Game 5. Holy crap, was that huge. That was huge. You know what I'm talking about? That play Ryan Trey Mancini made at first base?
Yeah, of course, right down the line.
Right down the line.
Not important to what we just figured out in the break. Lance, who
don't say that one.
Check in with.
Oh yeah, you can say that.
Yeah, not,
don't say
yeah,
the other one.
Yeah, you said not.
Yeah, you have to check in with me if you're going to bring desserts.
And
I'm like James. I'm like the James Prince of the radio. I'm like Jay Prince of the radio station. You have to check in with me.
He's calling himself Lance Prince.
And they had a cake in the Spanish speaking station had a cake, and they didn't check in with me. And then yesterday, I come out here and I see empty dessert gallery stuff, and I was here yesterday and no one checked in. You have to check in with me if you're going to bring this stuff to the station.
Chocolate chip cookies.
You check in when you bring any food. And burgers, chicken sandwiches, sliders, tamales, check in.
I think people are trying, they see that you know, they don't want to ruin what you've got going.
Yeah, you're losing weight.
Yeah, you're losing weight, and they want them to tell you when dessert.
It just means I just walk my
the opposite. Never tell him. Never tell
it
him
is
when
true.
Dessert.
It is true, because it is, it's just a, I'm just one backslide away. It's like heroin.
Yeah.
I mean, when I do that, when I have a dessert, I'm like, that night, 3.5 miles out on a walk,
so,
walking down Westheimer.
I
think we're having.
You want to ruin that?
He apparently does. I think we're bringing on this particular company as a client. And so they, hey, cookies.
Dessert gallery?
I believe so.
That's trouble. That's not. You're like that's the, like, hey, we're bringing on crack as a client.
Yeah, you're the Keith Richards of dessert. Oh,
and they've got monkey bars. They've got 7-layer bars. They are. That's a super.
Look,
that's a dangerous,
I don't know
dangerous
how often
advertiser.
They'll be bringing
right there.
Stuff around, but I'm just saying.
I'm sure they will.
It was just a little taste. They tried to hook you with the chocolate chip cookies, and then they'll hit you with the like a gateway to the monkey bars, or whatever he's talking about. Yeah,
it is. Yeah. Huh. I'm gonna be doing a lot of walking between prospects. Write one prospect and walk a mile. Write one and walk a mile. And then I smell like a teenage boy, like get that wet dog smell that Dell always talks about.
I don't. Oh, what? When do I bring
you
it up?
You said white people smell like wet dogs.
I've never initiated that conversation.
You've said it.
But when it's been said, I just nod in agreement. But I've never
started it. It's accurate, but
it.
You shouldn't say it. It's accurate.
I don't say it.
It's accurate.
I don't say it. I don't say white people. It's like white kids.
They
white
have,
boys.
Yeah.
I don't say white people smell like
did.
That.
Yeah,
My wife still says, when I'm outside doing anything, you smell like a pup. Go take a shower.
It's true. I don't know why
what's
it's
wrong
so
with
true.
You guys? It's because you
don't
put lotion
make you,
on.
It does make you racist, but it is true.
It's not racist
because I don't put lotion on
you.
That may be it.
Right?
That may be it, yeah.
So you smell like whatever your normal smell is when you sweat.
Dell just said the quiet part out loud.
I didn't say it. In fact, you said it, not me.
That's what the chat said. Dell just said the quiet part out loud. I actually said it out loud.
Out loud. I just nodded in agreement. That's all.
I mean, there's some veracity.
And once again, it's your group.
Hey, I want to play what Josh Pate said and get you guys' thoughts on what he said here. I think Josh takes a macro view of college football, which I enjoy. I get kind of bogged down in the small stuff. And when I heard this, I thought, man, this is really true, because I've thought about this on a separate. I thought about this calendar issue on a separate separately. But listen to what Josh says about, you know, college football and the playoffs. There's talk now about taking 12 teams to 24 teams. In college football playoffs. And we know it's just a money grab. That's all it is. They keep trying to squeeze the golden goose as much as they can. And what's happened is it's caused some blowback with NIL, transfer portal. There's a lot of blowback where people say college football is a disaster right now behind the scenes. People who are in it. And yet you just think by adding more money and more games is going to make it better? It's not. It's going to make it worse. But here's Josh Pate talking about the big issue that college football has right now, administrators and not understanding what the big problems are.
The biggest problem facing the sport right now is not the size of the college football playoff. The biggest problem by 100 miles facing college football right now is how insane the calendar is. Like right now, the conversation should not be, well, we're going to expand the playoff to 24. Your conversation should be, hey, how do we get the National Signing Day moved to February instead of early December and the portal window to post-college football playoff and rework the academic calendar where we can make it all happen so that we don't have coaching searches overlapping with the stretch run of the regular season because guys have to get in a new position to salvage a recruiting class before the portal opens? That's what the conversation should be. Instead, the conversation is, we have some money. We like more money. We have no talent. We can't build anything ourselves. This thing over here exists. It's called the College Football Playoff. Let's just increase the size of that thing. That ATM's been printing out money for us. Maybe it'll print out more money for us. Hey, Brazil will pay us $20 million. Let's just go take Tulane in Memphis and have them play down there. Those are the kinds of ideas these people have. So these people really have no business making decisions. People who actually have talent, you know, people who actually can build things, they're not in the administrative state of college football. Therefore, they're not in positions to hold these jobs. And so the people who hold the jobs and the people who actually end up making these kind of calls are the least equipped and qualified to be running anything. I wouldn't trust these people to run a lemonade stand.
He's right.
He is right.
He's absolutely right.
And you know from talking to coaches, John, the issues he brought up are major issues inside of college football universities, major football programs. The windows and the calendar is a disaster, and it causes complete turmoil. They don't make logical sense. They don't make logical sense. Having early signing, you shouldn't have the early signing. It should be in February. I mean, you got to let the college football season breathe. You cannot have all these things inside of it.
Didn't the coaches want the early signing?
Yeah, it started. They did, and now they're realizing, because now the February doesn't really even hardly matter at all. So it's putting too much pressure in season. They're having to work. They're having to do all the recruiting stuff in season. The offensive line coach my son works for at Alabama, he's got to do videos and stuff like this all the time. The official visits and unofficial visits are nonstop. The coach has to be a salesman as much as he has to get ready for Oklahoma. I mean, it's ridiculous. It never used to be like that. They say June is the absolute worst month ever for college football coaches. The worst. Their schedules are all jacked up. The calendar's all jacked up. And the going to 24 teams, those teams aren't worthy of a playoff run. They're not. I get that it'll make more money and we can say it's more games and all that stuff. But they're not worthy. It's hard enough finding worthy teams at 12. And then to take it to college football going overseas to me is the dumbest thing. I get pro football. College, where it's based on tradition and history and families who have gone to school there, you know, Notre Dame families, LSU families, whatever. That one really doesn't make sense. That's just a cash grab is all that is.
I don't have anywhere near the experience you do dealing with the college football, or at least the academic calendar, and he threw that in there.
That's never talked about, but it is a real thing.
It's a real problem.
That we need to switch just how universities do things college football?
Yeah, I don't know why. See, I thought the same thing. How they're not going to – do you have athletes do it differently or something? I don't know.
I don't know how that would work out for the regular student who doesn't either care or doesn't just play college football.
Well, no, but the rules are that you can't play or whatever unless you're enrolled within the first week of the semester. And, you know, you can change that. You can just change that. You can be enrolled later and still be able to compete. So, I mean, there is a way to go about that thing. There's nobody that has actually put anything into anything in college football other than making money. That's it. It's so backwards how it's run. They need a commissioner. They need someone that can bring everybody to look at the Big Ten and the SEC now threatening. If they don't get their way, they're going to. It's just, it cannot be run worse. It is the worst organization in all of sports, and it's not even close.
Well, they're not even in. They're just like, I don't even say five families. They're not an organization. Operate for our best interests, and if it coincides with what you like, then maybe we'll come to an agreement. There's no look to what's best for college football, what's best for my conference, and if we have to run through you to get it done, we'll do it. And then the SEC and the Big Ten are the power brokers.
Right. That's why it can never be looked at as the NFL. Like, there's separate boroughs here at play. There's the separate families. There's not one central television contract. None
somebody has to make this uniform. Somebody
Greg Sankey? Who's going to make Greg Sankey listen?
Nick Saban. He'll scare Greg Sankey.
Okay. Like, well, who's going to – I don't know who the Big Ten commissioner is or all the other ones outside of Greg Sankey, really.
Well, even though Greg Sankey does – he doesn't think he needs it. You can't just have an SEC and a champion and say we're the champs.
Well, I'm just
you can't
asking,
do it.
Who
you
is, can't do who, it. Who is the figure that's going to bring Greg Sankey
Nick
into
Saban.
The fold?
I mean, Nick Saban really would. Yes. It's not even a joke, but there's no way he wants to do it. But
I don't know. If he's, I
say
mean, he's
Pat
made
McAfee.
His life of college football.
I'm going Pat McAfee or Stephen A. Smith. I'm letting ESPN take
Josh
the wheel.
Pate.
Instead of Pate would do it.
Pate would be great.
But everyone thinks there's already people who think he's an SEC honk.
Well, he is from a small town in Georgia. Oh. The problem for Pate is I don't know if he wants. I think
he
like,
secretly
the bit
wants
of
it.
Saying
not
the
even.
Job, of
you think
the
it's
job
all
is
bit?
Fun. I think having Pate stay
you wouldn't really want
and
to
being
do
the
that.
Commissioner no. and having that as your thing on the air is great, but actually having to deal with people,
you're right. You would not want.
I don't know.
It's not as that. it's not worth it.
No. Well, unless you've got ultimate power. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Even then, it's still not fun, and everyone really hates you.
Yeah. All right, 713-780-3776. You got to talk a little Zadig Jewelers if anybody wants in, 713-780-3776.
You know, Zadig Jewelers has a big watch event coming up December 5th and December 6th, and unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to make that, and it stinks because their last watch event was absolutely incredible. They did it up huge. This watch event is going to be where you're going to see all the top names, Breitling, Bulgari, Cartier, Chanel, Chopard. They're going to have all of the best luxury watches right there at their location at 1801 Post Oak Boulevard. And they've got a legacy of fine jewelry and luxury watches. They've been doing this since 1976, almost 50 full years now. They're in Austin as well. So if you have family members there, if you happen to be listening on the app from Austin, they're in Austin. But this luxury watch event is a great chance for you to just come in and just enjoy yourself. Even if you're not going to buy right now, you just want to consider it. Come in and just see what they look like. I think you'll be blown away by the designs. I know I was. But they do buy, they sell, obviously, and they also trade. So if you're someone who already has a luxury watch or maybe this is something you collect, you say, sneakerhead, I'm a watch head. Well, if that's you, then you already know about Zadig Jewelers. And why don't you come in December 5th and 6th and maybe you want to trade. Maybe you want to bring a couple of your watches in or your watch in and trade to something else. They're more than happy to do that. 1801 Post Oak Boulevard. But this is a great chance for you to see what a luxury watch looks like if you've never seen it. And just then go about your day if you like. But I definitely want you to stop in because the spot is beautiful. They take great care of you. And it's an easy trip to Post Oak this 5th and 6th, Friday and Saturday. It's the great watch event going on at Zadig Jewelers.
You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
So, no CJ or Jalen Petrie tomorrow night against the Bills. The Bills have allowed 5.4 yards per carry to running backs so far this season. Third most. They've allowed 5.9 yards per carry and 16.7 explosive run rate. Worst in the league. That's when facing run plays with motion.
Huh.
The Texans have used motion over the last
three times,
66.8% of their snaps.
Oh wow! I didn't even. It didn't.
They didn't.
But they
early
didn't
on.
Early
now
on. Yeah.
Now they are. Now they are. And listen, the Bills don't play well here. The Bills just do not.
We've got a pretty good history.
Josh Allen ready. So Houston has won the last five games against the Bills in Houston. The Bills have only scored 15.6 points per game over 20 points, never over 20 points during the five-game stretch. Josh Allen's 0-3. He was 9 for 30 with 131 yards and one touchdown in the last year's game. And asked about coming here and playing, here's what he had to say.
Ball out of the shadow of the end zone and how it eventually cost you the game. Any stinging memories? I mean, how much more equipped do you think you are?
I got beat up that game. Didn't play well at all. You know, it's watching that film. There's a lot of good stuff to watch from that film, but it's hard to watch. You know, I played pretty badly. So, yeah, hopefully we can go out there and play a little bit better and move the ball a little bit better. But, again, this defense is no easy task to go against, and it's going to take everything that we got from everybody on the field.
So, for whatever reason, I mean, the playoff game, every time, I mean, just he's 0-3 here. For whatever reason, the Texans have the Bills' number. Is that going to be the case, first of all, without CJ? And by the way, you know, while CJ has played Davis has won a couple of games, his numbers against pressure are awful. His numbers against pressure are awful. There's a reason that he has to pull out games on the last drive of a game against Tennessee is because when you put pressure on Davis Mills, it's not good. It's not good.
Yeah.
So CJ is much better at that. I mean, this ridiculousness of Davis Mills over CJ it's got to stop.
I do think there is something to the fact that Davis Mills works the passing game a little bit more consistently, efficiently, especially in the intermediate throws. Yeah. Now, I think Trent Brown
throws a slant as well as anybody.
Yeah, he actually can make some pretty good throws.
Yeah.
But the difference is, you know, if he's so great, why are they still scoring? Why do they still have like 7 in the fourth quarter or 10 against Tennessee? All right, we got to quit acting like Davis Mills. But I do think that CJ has a much higher ceiling in any given game than Davis Mills. But Davis Mills is running the offense about like it's supposed to be run, and it's still not manufacturing point. They're still not scoring against Tennessee. Not really. I mean, when CJ played against Tennessee, there's a lot more points.
In the fourth quarter, it was in the fourth quarter. Yeah, that's true. Fourth quarter.
Will Kunkel and Jeremy Branham were having a little tete-a-tete on Twitter. Apparently, Jeremy Branham says that Davis Mills is a better fit for Kaylee's offense, and then Will Kunkel said, you know, got on him about how, you know, he's better than CJ, or you know, CJ can't, you know, whatever. Whatever the case may be, listen, you're a better team with CJ than you are with Davis Mills. You just are. Like you say, you got your couple, 3-game stretch with your backup quarterback. That's about it. Now you move on. Now you go back to the starter and you get back to the football team that you should be, whatever the case may be. My question is, can the Texans take advantage of the Bills' poor defense against the run? That's going to be – if they can run the football against the Bills, that'll open up a lot of stuff for Davis and make his job a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody seems to be running against the Bills, so why shouldn't the Texans?
I would say that's the biggest – I'd say that's the number one concern for the Bills is stopping the Texans' run game. And it's not like the Texans' run game has been great.
No.
But if the Texans get their run game going, then the play-action game opens up and they could have some problems. I mean, if you were going to attack the Bills, I do think you run the football. If you want to attack the Texans, I think you almost have to work backwards where you throw on first down when the rush is not really pinned back. You know, you try to pick up 5, 6. And Buffalo will do that some with Khalil Shakir out on the perimeter or with quick throws. But I think that's how the Bills want to attack the Texans. You can run the football, but that's why I think you have to do it on second and third down a little bit more and throw on first down. Because if you get behind the chains and they can pin their ears back. Now, Josh Allen's a different animal. He can shake out of sacks. He can get away from pressure. I mean, the Texans are going to have really good discipline with their rush lanes against Josh Allen. But, you know, one of the things that a lot of teams like to attack the Bills, and this is what the Texans have done in the past, is run TE stunts, which means tackle basically picks the end. So that means they're looping underneath. And what that does is you have a tackle moving up the field basically, you know, towards to the left. Let's say the left defensive tackle, towards the left to basically run into the offensive tackle. You've got Danielle Hunter over there going up the field, faking and stopping and coming underneath. And so now you've created your premium rusher coming on a straighter track, you know, on an inside track, as opposed to going around potentially and letting Josh climb up. He now can't climb. You can't climb when you have, you know, a defensive end looping underneath. You can't climb. And that may be a way you see Matt Burke coordinate that defense is more twists so that they keep the rush coming from inside so Josh can't climb up. Because if you let him climb up, the dude will go run for 17, you know, 12, 14, 18 on a regular basis. So you're going to have to scheme to kind of keep him in the pocket throwing. The Bills are not very dangerous from a receiver standpoint. They're not. Keon Coleman, you know, he was suspended last game for, what, the first series, I guess, because he's not handling his business. He didn't
was
really...
inactive.
Oh, he was completely inactive?
Inactive, yeah. Inactive, yeah.
For what, missing a meeting?
He missed a meeting.
Yeah, missed a meeting. He was inactive. They still won in a shootout. But
yeah, but...
They brought Gabe Davis back. You've got... You've got Khalil Shakir over there.
Khalil Shakir had one catch.
Is that it? Is that it?
Yeah.
And Dalton Kincaid was out. He may still. I don't think Dalton Kincaid is even. I think Dalton Kincaid looks like he's out this week too.
It's all Josh Allen.
Oh, he's a
and listen.
All they
you,
have.
I like the Texans tomorrow night. I like the Texans.
I do too. They're getting six.
Yeah,
I think the Texans have a real shot of winning.
I don't. Josh Allen can't do this by himself against this defense.
You ain't
playing. Okay, you ain't scoring six touchdowns. You ain't got no six touchdowns tomorrow.
The Bills have a way. The Texans have a really good defense. The Bills' defense is really a problem.
Yeah.
The Texans' offense is not explosive. The Bills' offense is explosive. Okay, so you're cross marrying them, and so you have difficulties. But I think it's more likely that. I think it's more likely that Davis Mills and the running game can end up having more success than usual. And don't forget Kymie Fairbairn's back, which is kind of a big deal for the Texans. And I think there's more likely that happens than Josh Allen exploits the Texans defense. I can't see him exploiting now. You know, if he gets to 28, Texans probably can't win. I can't see the Texans, even against the Bills, I don't know if the Texans can get to 28.
Yeah, I don't see that. This is going to be one.
Now,
of those.
CJ were here, maybe so, but that's the problem. I don't know.
The Texans are going to play a really ugly game. It's going to be, it's going to be 16-12 or something like that. Yeah, this is not. The Texans are going to. That defense is going to give Josh Allen a lot of problems. You ain't. Okay, who'd they play last week?
Tampa.
Oh, yeah, you ain't facing that defense, brother. This is the Texans, so yeah. Just wake up to the fact that you're going to have another ugly game. You're going to hate to watch next year. You're going to hate to watch this film again. That's just how it is.
This is the most confident you've been. Now let's see if you keep that same energy by Friday.
I will.
I've noticed your confidence kind of.
Well, the game will be over.
Oh, that's right. It's tomorrow. Yeah, that's right. It's a Thursday
tomorrow.
Game.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, the Rockets tonight.
Confidence on Friday morning.
You seem very, very confident. I feel confident they're going to cover also.
Yeah, we won't be at East River.
East River's tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Yes.
And the Taqueria Sorrento's Friday. We're eating that day, whether they like it or not.
You're forcing people to make food for you?
Well, they are open for breakfast, so.
Then we're eating.
One way or another, we're eating.
Breaking right now. We got Mike Elko joining us at 8:15. So you Ags. You want to hear Mike Elko right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
As we mentioned, we got Mike Elko coming up. Hey, how about them Cougs cracking the rankings? They were in the top 25, AP top 25, for the first time since 2021. This is the first time since 21 that they've been in the college football playoff ranking. So congratulations, they're number 23. You can make an impact on the success of the football team by providing NIL opportunities. Join the Huddle. The Huddle provides financial support to the football team outside of their operating budget. You can go to @UHCougarFootball on X, which is Twitter. You can also like the team on Facebook, on their Facebook page, Houston Cougar Football, or you can follow the team on UHCougarFB on Instagram. So you can actually, listen. All this NIL stuff, it's kind of a big deal. James Franklin was just introduced, and somebody put out there that he gave Sam Leavitt $8 million, but I don't know if Sam Leavitt is going to go there or what, but it's a parody account. And listen, it wouldn't be surprise me at all if that Sam Leavitt doesn't make $8 million. $8 million is out there for these kids right now. But you can make a difference. You don't have to put out $8 million. You can help the Cougs football team with whatever donation you want. Go to find them on the huddle. Go find them on X, and you can figure out how to get that to them if you want to. It's a weird, weird college football world we're living in. A weird world we're living in. And it kind of sucks in a lot of ways. But it's still the same game. We still love it. We still watch them. We're still, you know, they're not making money under the table now. They're making money over the table. And the problem for the kids is now they got to pay taxes on it. So that's the difference. It used to be just stick it in your pocket. Now you got to pay taxes on it. So it makes it a little bit more difficult for the kids. Now they need lawyers and accountants.
Well, and that and their handlers are taking now 20 to 25% of it.
Yeah, right. But the numbers are bigger, so they're getting about the same.
Probably. But I was like, well, they don't get rev share. And the guy told me, oh, no, they get rev share and NIL deals. They get both. I said, 20 to 25? He goes, oh, yeah. Huh. He said, that's the going rate. And then he goes, the worst part is these kids don't even realize that they get taxed on that money they're given the percentage, because you're not allowed to write that off. That was a change in the tax code in 2018. So if you get W-2, unless you create an LLC, you can't write it off. And so, because I can't write off what I have to pay my agent, it sucks. I used to be able to, so I actually pay more in taxes now. But it was a bunch of, I heard all this stuff. I'm like, I don't want to know anymore, because it's making me too, I don't know. It's just giving me too much anxiety. Like, these kids are not, I thought there was a mechanism in place with these collectives where they're taking out the taxes and all that. And then I found out a lot of the collectives aren't involved anymore. And a lot of the collectives weren't doing it anyway. So, yeah, it can turn into a mess for some of them, for sure. If there was one clearinghouse that would take all that out and handle all the taxes, that'd be great in a perfect world where they didn't have to mess with it. And I only say that because it's good for them to learn how to do it and to learn the realities of the world. But at the same time, God, 19, 20, like, my kids can't, like I said, these kids are learning, hiring somebody to handle taxes and stuff like that is something that.
Well, that's what parental guidance is for.
I mean, and I told you that they've got that company that Kendrick Perkins has, that company where they front you money in advance, and then they get money for four, and then. What I found out is there were two players last year who hit the portal who didn't want to because they had to get money to pay off the fees for that and the fees for their.
It's just loan sharking, is all.
Yeah, it is.
That's all it is. Ask Fernando Tatis how good it is. It's horrible. And he had a dad that played Major League Baseball, and he did that.
So stupid.
What? That's so dumb. All right. Let's catch up because we got Mike Elko at 15, right? So we got to make sure that we're out back on time. Mike Elko going to join us. Let's talk Astros baseball. There's some stuff to talk about on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. It's a quick break. Don't go anywhere.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.